Welcome to another dynamic word from Pastor Ron Hammonds, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
Would you open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 1? And while you're doing that, I am going to read one scripture in Proverbs. This morning, the title of our message is Our Amazing, Wonderful, Awesome, Magnificent, All-Knowing, All-Seeing, All-Powerful God. Okay, do I have a slide? Yes, all right. This is the title of our message this morning. Our Amazing, Wonderful, Awesome, Magnificent, All-Knowing, All-Seeing, All-Powerful God. In Proverbs, the 16th chapter, and in verse 9, the Bible says, a man's heart plans his way. We devise our way. We plan our way. Yet the Lord directs our steps. Today, we're going to take a very brief look behind the scenes of a woman in the Bible. The woman's name is Ruth. And we're going to draw some conclusions about Ruth today, and then I'm going to encourage you to read the book of Ruth this week. And if you are not a reader, I will encourage you to put it on audio. Turn, you know, get your phone app, put it on audio, and listen to it. I listened to it again this morning before I got here. It doesn't take very long, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you'll get the full story. But in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, Ruth is mentioned along with several other very important people in the lineage of Jesus Christ. In verse 1, reading from the New King James Version, the Bible says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. It begins by saying, Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Verse 3. Judah begot Perez and Zerah from Tamar, or by Tamar. Now, that is an interesting story. I would encourage you to find that one and read that one. That one will blow your mind. It will knock your socks off, okay, as to what God was doing, even involved in that situation. And then the Bible continues there. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nashon. Nashon begot Salmon. Now, Nashon and Salmon were princes of Israel, Judah, during the time of the Exodus. Okay, and it's believed that Salmon was one of the ones that went into Jericho, one of the spies. Because later on, we see in the next verse, Salmon begat Boaz by Rahab. Interesting, huh? Rahab, you remember her? If you, you can read in Joshua and read the story of Rahab. It's an amazing thing. It's amazing to me that God, again, would be involved with such a plan for Rahab's life, like he was for Tamar's life. The Bible says that Boaz begat Obed by Ruth. We're going to take a look at Ruth's life just a little bit today in brief. But then again, I am amazed that God included Ruth. And Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king, and David the king begot Solomon by Bathsheba, her who had been the wife of Uriah. One more story that kind of blows your mind. That God would choose to use these people, especially in the genealogy, the portion of the genealogy that we just read in these six verses covers about 1,000 or a little over 1,000 years in the story of God bringing Messiah to a lost and a hurting world. And you must admit here that this genealogy, if you knew all these stories, is very beautifully detailed, and it was flawlessly executed so that God's plan might be accomplished in and through the lives of every one of the people that he chose. He is the magnificent, all-seeing, awesome, wonderful, amazing, all-knowing, all-powerful God. For only a God like that could orchestrate this type of lineage. You see, Ruth was a God-chosen grandmother. In fact, all of these men and women we just talked about are grandfathers and grandmothers of Jesus. This is the genealogy of Jesus. He came from some real questionable circumstances. He came from some real questionable people. He came through each one of these that we just read. Ruth was destined. She was destined to be the wife of Boaz, and to have a son named Obed, and for him to have a son named Jesse, and then King David, and Solomon, and Ruth was destined by God to be the wife of Boaz in Judah, in Israel. This older man who many suppose him to have been one of the judges in the book of Judges. He was a wealthy older leader of the Jewish community in Bethlehem. But the chance of these two people, Ruth from Moab, which was east of Israel across the Dead Sea in a pagan land, the chances of a Moabitess, of Ruth from Moab, the chances of her and Boaz ever meeting was astronomical, much less them having a son. It was absolutely phenomenal. That's where the magnificent, awesome, all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful, amazing, wonderful God comes in, is that he never leaves anything to chance. God did not leave this to chance. Ruth was a woman of destiny. Ruth, from the country of Moab, she was born in a different country, in a different culture, in a different custom, even in a different generation, and yet God orchestrated his plan, which he had planned before the foundation of the world, the Bible says. In fact, you have been in Christ since before the foundation of the world, the Bible says. God had all this planned out. The book of Ruth details the account of how God brought these two people together to accomplish his plan to bring about the birth of Jesus according to every prophecy that had been written beforehand. A survey of the grandmothers and grandfathers of Jesus would reveal God's plan. God's plan was to include every people group, every nation, all kindreds and tribes and tongues, cultures and customs in the lineage of Messiah. It's just an amazing plan to me. You see, Ham, Shem, and Japheth can all be found in Christ. Every people group, all nations and kindreds and tribes and tongues, you can see it even in the genealogy, how God did not leave anyone out. No one singular people group can lay claim to exclusivity in Jesus Christ. And no one is left out. You see, we have all sinned, and God has included us all in the promise of salvation. Without regard to where you were born, what culture, custom, race, religion, whatever situation you were born into or grew up in, whatever people group you may belong to, Jesus Christ died for you, and he represents your sins on the cross. God left no one out. As I said, Ruth was destined to marry Boaz, a man that she had no chance in meeting. She was the vital link in the plan of God, but the odds of them having a son, as I said, was astronomical. And put yourself in their shoes. There was no chance at all. However, as I said, thankfully, God never leaves his plan to chance. God has not left your life to chance. You may not know what is in your future. You may only know what you're going through right now. You may look back on your past and wonder, why did this happen? How did this happen? Let me tell you, God has his hand on you. And though you fall, Psalms 37 says, you will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord will uphold you with his right hand, so that none of your steps will slide. Almighty God gently lifts us up and puts us right back on our course. Because he cannot afford to leave something as important as your salvation and the salvation of generations to come. He cannot afford to leave that to chance. At times, our journey to God's destiny seems to lead through some difficult days, as it did in Ruth's life. You know, allow me to share just a brief account of her life. You know, Ruth was raised in shame. Why was she raised in shame? Because she was a Moabitess. I mean, she came from an incestuous relationship between Lot and his oldest daughter, living under the shame, despised by other nations, despised by other people, looked down upon. She and her sister married Jewish immigrants that migrated to their land. And, you know, one of them married Mahlon, the other one Shelon. Do you know what these two boys, their names mean? Mahlon means sickly. It means weak and sickly. One of those girls married a sick, weak, sickly young boy. The other one named Shelon. You know what it means? It means to be worrisome and to be a failure. She married a worrisome failure. Yeah. And she was childless for 10 years on top of that. No doubt she was a good wife, but she was widowed at an early age, either married to a worrisome failure or being married to a weak and sickly person. Both of those young men died and left her childless as a widow, with nothing else to do but to migrate to another country where she would become little more than an immigrant farm field worker. Not only in her fields, not even in her fields, but following around in another man's fields, looking for the grain that has been dropped on the ground or that which was not harvested from the corners of the field so that she could survive and feed her mother. And yet she was under the hand of God, in the plan of God, right in the middle of the will of God. Almighty God had orchestrated every detail, and she had to be faithful to where she was, when she was, what she was, for the time she was. No doubt God knew this about her. Poor, unemployed migrant. Her diligence and her hard work, however, caught the attention of a rich man named Boaz, who would be her future husband. You see, the predicament that she lived through, the difficulties that she endured, those were the very things that God used to shape her and to promote her, to protect her, to provide for her, and to carry her to her destiny. Every vision needs a vehicle through which it can be transported by the hand of God to the perfect place where Almighty God has the time and the will and the moment and everything ready for God's will to be done. Bless Ruth's heart. You know, Boaz instructed his farmhands to let fall some handfuls of purpose for her. She called his attention. Why? Because she was a virtuous woman. Boaz redeemed Ruth because of what he saw in her. And because of the inspiration of Almighty God, he knew that she was a virtuous woman. That's what the Bible says in Ruth 3:11. Boaz is a picture of Jesus. You see, Boaz did not just rescue Ruth, he redeemed her. There is a difference between being rescued from your past and being redeemed to a brand new future. That's what Jesus does. Jesus does not just want to make us better people. He's not trying to make us better citizens. He's trying to redeem us and save our souls. And a saved soul walking with Christ will automatically become a better citizen and a better neighbor and a more fruitful and productive friend. He did not just rescue her. He didn't just fix her past. He transformed her future. It was her destiny. It was not her plan. It was God's plan. And the way she lived her journey, that's what made her destiny so sweet. She was great in her ordinary. She was great in her everyday. She trusted God wherever she was, whenever she was, whatever she was doing. Faithful to God. And it qualified her for the extraordinary. Ruth teaches us to be faithful in our journey. In Ruth, the first chapter, verse 16 gives us insight into Ruth's heart. This was her nature. It was who she was. That's why Boaz fell in love with her and chose her to be the mother of the son of his old age. That's why God knew he could trust her and use her. This is her nature. Whenever she was faced with being able to go back to her old life or to continue to persevere and to be faithful to her covenant relationship with her mother-in-law. This is what she said, verse 16. But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you, nor to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God my God. And where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more, if anything but death parts you and me." You see, Ruth was committed. And she behaved virtuously in every moment of her life, even in the moments that must have been very difficult, even in the moments that were disappointing, even in the times when it looked like failure had occurred. She may have been married to a worrisome, weak, fearful failure, but she wasn't. She may have become a migrant worker, you know, just a field hand, you know. But God saw something in her. He knew where she was going, and He knows where you're going. You see, you have been invited to marry the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have been asked to be the bride of Christ. But if I could in any way describe or give you a glimpse of your future, it would outshine Ruth's. Ruth became the wife of one of the wealthiest members of the royal family of Judah. It was her nature that brought her there. May I encourage you this morning? I want to encourage you to look to God's plan for your life. It's not what you're going through, but it is what you're going to. God planned a future for Ruth that only He could orchestrate. You have a plan like that as well. You are in God's plan for the future. This morning, I offer you two things as I close. Two things that we learn from Ruth, and as I said, I encourage you to read the whole story. One thing is this: God is all that. Number one, God is all that. You know, He is awesome and wonderful and amazing, and He's marvelous and He's fabulous and He's all-knowing and all-seeing and He's all-powerful, and, you know, He is He is all that. Think about it. God is all that. That's what we must believe. He is worth it. He is worth it. God is worth it. He's worth what you're going through. He's worth it. The second thing we learn from Ruth is that we must be faithful to walk in the path that God has chosen for our lives. We must be faithful. Perhaps you are walking down a path that you didn't choose. Maybe it was chosen for you. I'm going to ask you to be faithful. Maybe you're in a job that you don't like. I'm going to ask you to be faithful. Maybe you're going through a situation at school or financially that just seems so far out of your control. I'm going to ask you to be faithful. Maybe you're wanting something that it looks like there is just no chance. There's just not one chance. I'm just going to ask you to be faithful. Be faithful where you are. Realize that Ruth had to be faithful in every step. It's the same with us. Be faithful. Be faithful to God. You can only do that if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's not just your problem that needs to be fixed. It's your soul that needs to be saved. It's not just a situation that needs to change. It's a life. Would you consider inviting Jesus Christ into your life this morning, right now? Those of you here on campus, if you would bow your heads and consider this, people would feel more secure if they're not being looked at. And those of you online, if you would just bow your hearts with us, ask Jesus into your heart right now. Invite Him in. You see, He is here not just to fix your problem, but He's here to redeem your soul. And that's what He wants, to change you from the inside out. Oh, things will get better when you get saved. The peace and the joy when you turn your situation over to Him. You know, every day we need to turn our lives over to Him. Let's pray together right now. Father, I know some of these people, Lord, are in situations, Lord, they didn't choose, Lord, but nonetheless, You can use. Lord, You can use the situation they're in, Lord, to protect them, Lord, promote them, prepare them, Almighty God, and position them, Lord, for the greater day that You have in Your vision, Lord, for truly our greatest days are yet ahead. God, I know, Lord, that You are here to do more than just fix a problem. Lord, You're here to redeem a soul, to transform a life, Lord, to take something dead and make it live, God. Lord, we invite You into our lives. Jesus, come into our lives. Save our souls, forgive our sins. Transform us by Your Holy Spirit. Jesus, we give You our lives. God, thank You. Thank You for saving us. Now, Lord, carry us, Lord, as You protect us, Lord, and provide for us, God. Lord, as You position us, Lord, and promote us, God. Lord, may we see the victory. Use us, God. Lord, thank You. Thank You for being with us. You are all that. And we praise Your name. We praise You. We thank You. Now help us to be faithful where we are and excited about where we're going. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for another dynamic message from Pastor Ron Hammonds. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.